Today is a significant day in the life of the parish as we focus on welcoming and in engaging people in the life of the church. And after this service, I hope that you'd all stay as we not only have a newcomer's lunch, but we feed everyone. God has provided for each and every one of us today. And I noticed that the portions are quite generous. I was down between services, but unfortunately, I had already gone to Tim Hortons and bought my porridge, otherwise I could have eaten downstairs. Nevertheless, God has provided generously, so please stay after and attend the ministry fair, which has been arranged. I want to thank those who have been working diligently behind the scenes to make this happen, who prepared the materials and the displays to help us all explore the various areas where we might be called to serve. Now, since my arrival in the parish 3 years ago, I have noticed a steady stream of visitors and newcomers. And I have also been observing how we welcome others, obviously with a view to improving what we do. But I have also reflected on how I was welcomed into the Anglican Church in Toronto. And that happened actually 49 years ago when I showed up at a little church in Parkdale called St. Mark's Church. But I'll get to that in a minute. I'm inviting you today to reflect on how you were welcomed into this church or into any church where you were a stranger or a newcomer. What was your experience? Or what have been your experiences? Because they might have varied. But to share very quickly my own experience, I showed up at this little church in Parkdale, and if you know the Parkdale area, if you think about Queen Street West, beyond Dufferin, it's a really nice community of shops, and people still shop in the little stores along there. And right at the corner of Queen Street and Cowan Avenue, if you can picture that area, there's a Parkdale Library. But there's an excellent worshiping community of Anglicans right next to the library. It's called the Epiphany and St. Mark's. So I arrived there with a copy of my baptismal certificate, and the long timers would know that that's been a tradition in Anglican circles for years, that you show up with your what we call Anglican credentials and a letter from your priest, right? So I showed up with my baptismal certificate and a priest from Father Walker, my priest in St. George's Anglican Church from St. Kitts, always a St. George's person. And so I brought with me, I was very proud of my credentials, I had them in a binder, I took them with me, and after the service, I presented them to Reverend Graham Carter. And you might remember him, he's a senior priest who was one of my presenters at my ordination. So he took my binder and he barely looked at it and he said, "Oh, you are Leonard. Your uncle, Frank, has already told me about you. Where would you like to start?" At the time I thought, he didn't even look at my package that I prepared. But on reflection I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's such a soft landing. A soft landing of entry into the diocese. What is your story of welcome? What is your story? Over the years, I've been in conversation with so many who do not share my experience of a warm welcome to a church. And you will have your own story and perhaps your own perspective of how welcoming we are here at St. George and Young. One test might be to look around at hospitality time after worship and see whether the newcomers and the visitors are sitting on their own, trying to figure this thing out, while we who know each other well get caught up on all the stories and well wishes, while the visitors just maybe looking at the pictures on the wall, maybe just trying to engage themselves. That could be one test, but not necessarily the only test. So today, my sisters and brothers in Christ, with all the excellent readings and themes from the lectionary, I have chosen to ask you to reflect on with me on this excerpt from the Gospel. Then he, that is Jesus, took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me not." I'll repeat that. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me not, me, but the one who sent me. What exactly was Jesus saying? What was he urging his disciples to do? Why was he urging them to welcome even the lowliest and the most vulnerable, the children? I'm sure that many of us in our travels might have seen what they've referred to as street children. And let's not get too complacent. We do have street children among us. It's not elsewhere, among us as well. And these are children who might be deserted, might be rebelling a bit, not liking the home environment. And so they live on the street. And those are some of the most vulnerable. And it existed in first century Palestine. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus used that analogy then, but it's still relevant to us today. Welcoming the most vulnerable, the lowliest, the children. I must say, though, that there are so many traditions around welcoming, but some of the common traits, some of the common elements of welcoming include displaying our best, showing our best, putting our best foot forward, isn't it? And I remember growing up in the Caribbean, where I was born and brought up, during royal visits, suddenly the roads that were not paved for years were suddenly paved. Everything was painted brand new. You wondered, how is it we couldn't find money to pave the roads before now we are paving the roads? Displaying our best. And I'm sure that if you're preparing for visitors, guess what happens? You probably spruce up a bit, right? For me, I push my books aside so that there could be space on the couch to sit because I do a lot of reading on my couch. So we try to display our best. The other thing that we do lots of preparation, don't we? We cook and we make sure that everything is in order. And there's been a lot of preparation put into today's impressive displays downstairs. So our goal might be to impress the guest, isn't it? So that they would want to come back, they would want to return. And sometimes we want to have a good display, don't we? And guess what? The church does this week after week after week. There's a lot of preparation behind the scenes for what happens here today. And I can mention a few. The bulletins are prepared. Craig is here today. There are rosters for all who serve and participate in the worship. Someone prepares those. Hymns are chosen, right, Michael? The scripture is read and read again and prayed over and pondered upon for a homily or reflection that's given. And sometimes on Friday night, it just doesn't feel right. And I start over on Saturdays. And my wife would say to me, "Leonard," Felicity would say, "Leonard, sounds good." I said, "No, something just isn't resonating." And so there's a lot of preparation. The altar guild prepares, everyone prepares. So there's a lot of preparation behind the scenes. But in serving God and the church, we are reminded today of the right motive for what we do. It's not for us to be to have a high profile or to feel wonderful about ourselves. Because in the gospel reading, Jesus challenged his disciples who were arguing among themselves, perhaps out of a mistaken desire to be great, to be famous, and to be influential. And one explanation is that they were preoccupied with their own ideas about the kingdom of God. And we too are encouraged today. And rather than seek recognition, we are encouraged to offer welcome and hospitality as acts of Christian service. For just as God welcomes us into his presence and into a relationship with him, we too must welcome others into communion within the church and with each other as followers of Christ. So let me share a few practical ways, and some of these are pretty obvious, but they're worth reminding ourselves. Practical ways where we could be intentional in welcoming here at St. George and Young. First of all, before our worship starts, we might see a stranger, someone who looks like a stranger entering. But let me ask you, what if God showed up one Sunday morning? And we might see signs of God based on our own images of God, right? God might show up with Jesus on his right hand and the Holy Spirit hanging around, isn't it? Our own images, whatever we perceive as our own image of God. What if God showed up? Would we be ready? Would we be welcoming? So before the service, we greet anyone who appears to be new. We introduce ourselves, and that's what these name tags are all about, and thanks for wearing them today. We introduce ourselves, and we display our name tags so that they can remember our names, even if we don't remember theirs initially, because you know that happens sometimes. You're so engrossed in conversation that you forget the name. And many of our parishioners follow that example by wearing name tags. We introduce ourselves and we welcome them. The welcome, introduction, the greeting. Secondly, during the worship, what do we do when there's a newcomer or a visitor? Well, it's good to have some sort of interaction or contact during the worship, or for help if you feel that the newcomer might need it. But it is important to use good judgment and not be too aggressive. Be discreet. Quick story. When I was at Trinity College taking my master's in divinity, I visited a number of churches to find out what was a suitable parish for me to do my internship. As you know, we not only do the theoretical stuff, but they send us out in the field. And I recall showing up at a parish where I received a warm welcome. The usher actually came and sat next to me to help me make my way through the Anglican liturgy. I should tell you, they did not use leaflets as we do. They actually used the Book of Alternative Services, they used the Bible, and they used about four different pieces. Throughout the service, she was quite attentive, and occasionally I would see her glancing over to see whether or not I was able to find the appropriate pages in the Green Book of Alternative Services. That was good. But on a lighter note, I wondered whether or not she would be impressed if she found out that someone on the verge of being accepted to be a future priest sometimes would get lost in the prayer book because of all the different sections and other sections. But that's another discussion. Yes, we must be attentive, but we must allow the visitors to worship as they are comfortable. So first of all, let us greet people. Let us be attentive without being overbearing. But thirdly, the invitation. There's no worship without the invitation. The invitation in this case, in our case, is threefold. First of all, to come and meet others at coffee hour, because we offer hospitality. The invitation, the welcome, and hospitality go hand in hand. And also to get them to meet people with whom they might have something in common. In conversation, you might find that that person is from a certain part of the world, certain part of the country, certain part of the province. And guess what? Based on our map outside, we have people from every part of everywhere. So just introduce people, connect them, and you've done the first part of your job, the invitation for coffee hour. Second, the invitation to complete the connection card. If you have not seen this card, then you need to understand it. Because we're all welcomers. We do not leave it just to the ushers. We are all welcomers. And this connection card allows us to keep in touch with people. Coffee hour, connection card. And the third C in the invitation, come back. Come back next Sunday. And you know what? I really like to greet people on the first Sunday of the month, because I can say to them, come back next week to hear Sister Connie. She's an excellent preacher. And when I greet people on the second Sunday of the month, I say, come back to hear our Deacon Morning Wang. She's an excellent preacher. And so people come back when they're invited. They might not come back if they're not invited. So the three C's of the invitation: coffee hour, connection card, come back. Now, Jesus taught his disciples to welcome children. This was contrary to the prevailing culture in first century Palestine, where children were not always wanted. And we too are encouraged to treat children well and to teach them about Jesus. Last Tuesday, I attended a meeting of clericals for the clergy in the area, and the discussion turned to ministry for youth and young adults. Sounds familiar? And how we could pass on the Christian faith to those within our sphere of influence. And we exchange ideas around the responsibilities of parents, grandparents, teachers, and the church. And many of us shared our own story. And part of my story is that my children are not regular at church. They're no adults. They have reached the age of reason. They have made some choices. And I keep praying for them. They do go. But ideally, every a parent like me would really like to see my children in church every Sunday, isn't it? But, you know, I won't judge. I keep praying for them, I keep encouraging them, and they do go. My grandchildren, they go when their parents go. Special occasions. And that's what we can do. We can keep praying for our loved ones, we can keep encouraging them. But this is an urgent and immediate matter for the church. Ministry to youth, young adults. Ministry to all, but particularly those age demographics. But we recognize that the church is in competition with others for their interest, for their attention. But it's an urgent issue for each and every one of us. It is even more important then for us to show a genuine welcome to those who take the time to be here and to make the worshiping and the fellowship experience as memorable and as meaningful as we can. Biblical scholars have suggested that Jesus used the analogy of the children really to extend our thoughts to those who are vulnerable. So can we see the face of God in the vulnerable? Because we too have the opportunity to welcome those who are sent to us without judgment. On Friday, I was praying and at my desk and reflecting on today's thoughts from scripture. And Lorraine, who was around the church, came and rapped on the door and said, there's a man out here to see you. So I went out, I spoke with him, and he was in need. And he gave me, Craig was in the office as well, he gave me his spiel. And as I was listening to him, I must confess that my thoughts strayed a bit. And I started doubting the story. And then I snapped back to the scripture and said, you know what? We should not be judging. So we had one card left. It was a Starbucks card, and so we gave it to him. Sometime later, someone else showed up. I don't know whether or not there was connection between the one who came before and the one who came after, but I noticed that Lorraine was out there speaking with him, and I stayed in my office and continued preparing my sermon. And we haven't had a conversation yet, Lorraine, as to whether or not there was any connection. People are in need, and so we must present ourselves without judgment and help in whatever way we can. So can we see the face of Christ in people who show up? Can we see the face of Christ in the people who come every first Tuesday of the month for our gift card program? Can we see the face of Christ in those who come here every Tuesday to learn English as a second language? Can we see the face of Christ in those who come to the chapel to pray? Those who come for our bazaars, our concerts, our poetry nights, and other events at the church? Can we see this as a place of mission? You know, we are so fortunate to be right on Yonge Street. And God, we don't have to go around the world any longer to do mission. God has set the mission field right on our doorsteps. Can we be bridges of hope to all with whom we come into contact and those who come here? And finally, can we see the face of Christ in those who come for the Out of the Cold program? As you know, the parish host, the parish is a drop-off point for the Out of the Cold program from mid-November to the end of March. Can we be welcoming? Can we be more like Christ? So then, as we wrap up this morning's reflection, let's think of hospitality as a way to bridge to the community, to share our faith. Let us be humble, as Jesus encouraged his disciples about humble servants, humble service. And this is evident in other parts of Scripture. For instance, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he urged the faithful to lead a worthy life with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And that's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. But welcome and hospitality are essential in the life of the church. And our hospitality time provides an opportunity for us to build relationships with each other. And I stand here grateful to those who continue to serve behind the scenes in this ministry week after week after week. But we could not emphasize too much the role and importance of all who serve in this parish, the role of ushers and greeters, who are usually the point of first contact with the opportunity to give a favorable first impression. And I don't want to get too personal here this morning, but I've heard so many good stories about Joan Chung Tiam Phuc, who, as you know, is not regular at church because she's in a care facility. And at least two persons have told me that they came back. They came back the second week because Joan said, Joan was welcoming and she invited them back. And perhaps God is nudging someone here in the congregation today to carry on where Joan left off. To be a greeter, to be an usher, maybe to be a counter. The counting team needs some more people. Maybe to be a member of the altar guild. Maybe to be a reader and intercessor. Or perhaps to be the treasurer of the parish. You might know that we are searching for a treasurer. So if God is calling anyone here today to be treasurer, you know what happened to Jonah. God reaches us in different ways. So we are urged then to be stewards of God's gifts and serve in a humble, faithful manner. We are urged to welcome everyone as if we were welcoming God Himself, as we seek and serve Christ in all persons. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.